Father, many times we are restless. But Father, there's a rest in you, Father, that will provide a peace, Father, and a help in our time of need. Father, it's, we rest in our salvation. Father, we rest in Christ. We rest in peace. And Father, I pray that as we go through these difficult times, and they're difficult, Father, that we will seek your face and that we will dwell upon your beauty and we will dwell upon your word. And Father, we'll find that beautiful joy and peace that only you can provide. So Father, as we go through being still today, Father, may we be still and understand it in a way that, Father, that maybe we can change just a little bit more of who we are, Father, like I continue to say, that would look just a little bit more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, provide me the means and the way through the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, to deliver your word. Father, deliver it accurately in a way, Father, that it can be used to change the hearts and the minds of the people, Father, to love you deeper and dearly in a way, Father, that they haven't before. Father, we love you and thank you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Righty. You know, we do pray, of course, talking to God, and there are several that are on my mind as I think about it. I think about Jack at home with his leg that's healing up. I think about Karen that's with Karen Bell with her husband that's at home working through that. I think about all these people, and there's many more that are there. But I just want you to know that when you let me know these things, that I'm praying for you and that the difficult times that you're going through, God is with you and God will be there with you. Many times there's a feeling of loneliness, especially because we're being quarantined and sequestered, so to speak, and stuff like that where we are. But I just want you to know that God is still exactly who he says he is. He will guide and direct you through the difficult times. I just want to invite you to grab a hold of him as you go through the difficult times. And as the sermon says today, God's always cooking something up. And when he cooks up, I want him to serve me what he's cooking up. I want to read Galatians 5, 22 and 23 for us. It tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, faithfulness, it's gentleness, and it's self-control. And if you have a King James Version, you'll find that the long-suffering is also in there. And church, we've been and still are going through COVID-19 virus. People have lost their family members due to the virus. Many have lost their jobs. Others have lost their businesses and shut down. Schools have closed. Travel has come to a standstill in many times. Vacations are on hold and they're canceled. Isolation is mentally challenging those that are being in quarantine. And now we can add the rioting across America, and this has been only in the last 3 months of your life. If we ever needed love and joy and patience and long-suffering and kindness and goodness, gentleness and self-control, it's now. If I may take a slogan from Wendy's hamburger commercial many years ago, where the elderly lady sits in the rocking chair and she's holding a hamburger and opens up and she says, where's the beef? Well, I'm standing here today asking, where's the love? Where's the self-control? Where's the gentleness? Where's the patience? Where's the joy? Where's the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness? Where do we find shalom? Peace with ourselves, peace with God, and peace with one another. We know where it is. We find it all of the above in God, administered to us from him through the Holy Spirit and whom he has gifted us. We must turn to God. Always must turn to God. Okay, Pastor, how do we do that? Good question. Good question. I want to tell us. First, I believe that we need to do as God says. We're going to look at Psalms 46, and it tells us what God says. I want us to notice right off the bat, it is a song that is sung in the soprano voices, meaning the higher voices, which usually indicates the women. And it's sung in three sections. I will not try to sing it. I'd like to sing it. I wished I had it. I try not to be shamed every time I hear Heather sing. But it's impossible. She has such a beautiful voice. But anyway, I'm not going to sing it, though. Psalms 46, 1 through 11. From the choir director. Isn't that beautiful? A song of the descendants to be sung by soprano voices. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Praise God. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and when the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Interlude. Pause. Next verse. A river brings joy to the city of God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed from the very break of day. God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts, and the Lord of heaven's armies are among us, and the God of Israel is our fortress. Pause. Interlude. Third stanza. Come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear, and he burns the shields with fire. And here's the command God gives us, beginning in verse 10, that I want us to see. Be still and know that I am God. God says, I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of the heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. In the past couple of months, I've turned more over to God than I have probably in my whole lifetime. You think, well, Pastor, that's what you're supposed to do, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And you're right. It is. But it seems the heat has turned up a little bit, and I can't get out of the kitchen because God is cooking something up for all of us in this turmoil and wants to serve up something that shows his divine hand to us. And that something up is what I am supposed to do and the way I'm supposed to respond in all this mess that we're in. Me, individually, how I'm supposed to respond. And the first thing he served up for now is this: be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted, honored in all the earth. See, this word be still is important. It's the Hebrew word of rapha. And it means to be still, to properly mend, and even in the wording, by stitching, to mend. Be still so I can stitch you up. That is figuratively to cure, to cause to heal, to repair, to make whole again. Isn't that beautiful? We just need to be still and know that God can take care of this and can heal us. He's stitching us up where we've been deeply cut in the world's physical and mental attacks. He's the master physician. He can heal. This verse comes from a longer section of Scripture that proclaims the power and the security of God. You see, the threat the psalmist faced is mentioned, not mentioned here specifically, but it seems to relate to the pagan nations and the world's difficulties, and they're calling for God to end these raging attacks. And the psalmist is now affirming that God and God alone is our refuge and strength. He is our ever-present help in trouble. So what's the psalmist's conclusion of the result of this knowing and experiencing of God? Therefore, we will not fear. Even if the earth gives way, even if the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, through its waters roar and foam and the mountain quakes with their surging, we will not fear. He says, don't even fear if the nations are in an uproar or if kingdoms fall. Why? Because I love verse 4, starting with that. Because there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Wow. The holy place where the Most High, where God dwells. God is with her. She will not fail. God will help her at a break of the nation. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. I want you to notice that the river flowing is out of the holy place of the Most High. And what's anticipated is the river of grace, which is also likened to a river of paradise in another section of the Psalms. Psalms 36, 8 through 10. Look at me with this river of life in Psalms. They feast on the abundance of your house, O Lord. You give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the foundation of life, the fountain of life. In your light, we do see light. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright of heart. the beautiful river that flows out of the kingdom of God. One of the commentaries that I read has this to say: when the city of God is threatened and encompassed by the foes, still she shall not hunger, and she shall not thirst, and she shall not fear and despair. Why? For the river of grace and her ordinances and promises flows with its rippling waves to the holy place where the dwelling place or the tabernacle of the Most High is pitched. He continues to shed His grace upon His people. They told us over the periods of time that the church was shut down. Let me tell you something. You know, shut down God's church. I'm not talking about the doors that were here today. I'm talking about you can send everybody home never to show up again, and you will not shut down the kingdom of God. He will rule forever and forever, and you will be with Him in eternity. Well, they can stifle for a while. We look back in the New Testament and we see that the diaspora, they were dispersed everywhere because of the conflict, especially in Nero about AD 70, where they thought that the Christians had burned down the temple that was there. They were splintered out. What did Peter say? Don't worry if for a little while you're going to have trials. Stay with the Lord. He's still there. Don't worry. You see, we don't believe that the church is a building. We're living stones placed upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus. And He alone guides and directs us wherever we are. I also want us to note that the majority of Psalms 46 is written in the third person as a psalmist speaks about God. However, when God's voice comes through in verse 10, the Lord is speaking in first person. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored among the nations. I will be honored or exalted in the earth. See, be still is a call for those involved in a war to stop fighting. Be still. We look at the word be still. We looked at it earlier, the meaning. In some instances, the word carries the idea of to stop. It means to be weak. It means to faint. It implies two people are fighting until someone separates them, making them drop their weapons. It's only after the fighting has stopped that the warriors can acknowledge that they're trusting God. And they can get stitched up and healed from the fighting. And they allow God to take care of the matter that they're being fought over. Be still and know that I am God. Christians often interpret the command to be still as to be quiet in God's presence. Being quiet, no doubt, is certainly helpful. But the phrase here means to stop frantic panic or drastic activity, to let down, to be still, stop running in circles, so to speak. For God's people, being still would be involving looking to the Lord for their help. Stop the craziness, look to the Lord. For God's enemies, being still would mean ceasing to fight a battle they cannot win. You're on the right side, God's side. He will win the battle. The battle is already won. We see this, be still and know that I am God, play out as Moses was freeing his people out of Egypt. They were approaching the Red Sea, and the people of God, seeing that the Egyptians were coming right after them, and they feared greatly, and they said to Moses, look at this, right after they came out of there, it is because there's no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. What have you done bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we tell you that leave us alone, we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. These are people that had been 400 years enslaved. And they got out. And they want to get back in. Look at Moses' reply. Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work out for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again. What's He saying? Stop your franticness. Stop your worry. Stop it. Look to God. Be still. He has a solution. And the solution's given. You'll never see them again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. Wow. Be still and know that I'm God. Say, okay, Pastor, we understand it being still, but how about the know that He is God part? You see, to know in this instance means to properly discover or understand by experiencing, by seeing, and to acknowledge and to be aware. It's an action on your part to turn from what you're doing and be aware that God can do something and be aware of what He's doing. I talk about it a lot of times when we're in a difficult times. Look for God. Be aware of Him. Grab a hold of Him. He'll get you through it. Don't look to yourself because you'll be frantic. You'll be running like a dog with his tail cut off or head cut off. Whatever's cut off, he's running in a circle. Stop. I know he said stop, drop, and roll, but we don't have a fire going on here. We got a fire going on. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. Anyway, stop and look and see what the Lord is doing. See what He's doing. Don't let the outside circumstances destroy the beautiful inside glory of the Lord in you. Don't let that happen. Praise God for the coronavirus. All things happen for the good for those that believe and work according to His purpose. This didn't get God caught off guard. The rioting didn't either. There's people coming to Christ and things being done in a way of the kingdom work while that's going on. Look for those things. Don't let the outside world destroy the inside security that you have in your Lord Jesus Christ. To know, properly discover, see what God's doing. You see, the people of God saw and experienced the hand and the power of God in the water as it parted and their enemy drowned. They experienced firsthand the work of God. They only had to be silent and know that He is God, that you stop griping and fearing and let God take care of business. How does acknowledging God impact our stillness? Let's look at that. When we become still and acknowledge God, we remember that He is all-knowing. Then we remember that He is all-being everywhere. And then we remember He's all-powerful. He is holy. He is sovereign. He is faithful. He is infinite. He is good. And you are His child. And He plans what's good for you. Acknowledging God implies that we can trust Him and surrender to His plan because we understand who He is. And He has planned every day, every one of them for you. Not just the day that you know that you will be leaving the earth and joining Him, but every day, every second, He has got planned for you because He's placed you in Christ Jesus to do those things He desires for you to do, that you do them. And we do. In our times of trouble, it helps to acknowledge the one in whom we believe in. Hopefully the one you believe in is God and not yourself. It's not hard to get wrapped up in ourselves, even those of us that love our Lord, is it? Sometimes our patience wears thin and we got the solution that usually leads to more prayer and more time spent with Him because we went down the wrong path. There's an old hymn about this and one whom we believe in. There's an old hymn. Let me do the, I won't sing it again, I promise. I may break out in a song. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ His love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed in and have persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with Him or maybe I'll meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. See, God continues His speaking, commanding in verse 10 of Psalms 46. And after telling us to be still, then He states this, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be honored among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be honored on the earth. See, it was tempting for the nation of Israel to align with foreign powers. And God reminds them that ultimately He is the one that will be honored. God wins and He will bring peace. Even during the prophet Isaiah's time, Judah of Israel, the tribe, looked up for the Egyptians, even though God warned against it. They looked for help with the Egyptians, and Judah of Israel did not need Egyptian strength. Why? They just needed to be still and rely on the Lord. And God told the prophet Isaiah, I love this, Isaiah 30:15, In repentance and in rest is your salvation, and in quietness and trust is your strength. My rest is in repentance and your salvation. I want to tell you, you want to rest in the Lord? Rest in the salvation that He's given you. There'll be a final rest in heaven. But for now, rest in the Lord. What does rest mean? Have relationship with Him. Be deeply involved with Him. Don't be restless. Restlessness comes about. We see it in the Garden of Eden. Restless comes about when sin entered in and they, what? Hid themselves, Adam and Eve, and they felt what? Ashamed and guilty for what they have done. It causes a restlessness. You want to end your restlessness? Lean into God, into the salvation that you have, knowing that that salvation produces a place for you in heaven. That salvation will produce for you a place with God. That salvation will produce for you a peace that passes beyond all understanding. Rest in your salvation. You see, when we're still and we surrender to God, we find peace even when the earth gives way. The mountains can fall, or the nations can go into an uproar, and kingdoms can fall. When life gets overwhelming for us, and boy has it been, and busyness takes precedence, remember Psalms 46. Be still and know that I am God. God is our refuge. God is our ever-present help in trouble. He's our strength. I want to invite you to run to Him. Lay down your weapons and fall into His arms. Acknowledge that He is God and that He is honored and exalted above the earth. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He's God when your daughter or your spouse is going into surgery. Be still and know He's God when there's a difficult thing that you don't know how to do. What does that mean? Not into quietness, but stop the panic and the worry and look to God and be still and know the Creator of the heavens and earth has got you in the palm of His hand. Even in the most difficult times you'll ever go through, when you don't even think God's there, oh, He's there. You can't get rid of Him. He loves you. What you talking about? He loves you. He knows what's best, even when I don't think it's best. It's still best. Be still and know that He's God. Be still and know that He's God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You, Father, for salvation. Father, may we be still. Father, may we stop from the difficulties that life brings us, fretting over those and worrying about things. Father, not throwing caution to the wind, but to be responsible. But Father, let us focus on You. Father, let's not make decisions out of feeling, Father, that rule our lives. But Father, let's make decisions, Father, focused on You. There may be an emotion with it, but Father, the decision was made with You, focusing upon You. Father, I pray for the protection of this precious body of believers, Father, those here and those at home, Father. Father, put a hedge of protection to protect us from the virus and, Father, from the rioting, Father. But Father, above all, Father, I pray that these people, Father, that are in so much turmoil and unrest, oh Father, open a door for someone to talk to them in a way that they can know You. And Father, it'll all stop. Father, You're the solution. Father, may we look to You always, Father, for every solution. And Father, may we be still and know that You're God. And that, Father, whatever You plan that You have, we want to be in that plan. And Father, that's the plan that's going to be the best. And that's the plan that's going to provide a solution. So, Father, we love You and we thank You. And Father, again, in that difficult way that I can pray, thank You for all of this, Father. I know You're not the cause of it, Father, but I do know You're the solution of it. Father, we love You and thank You, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen.
As we close our service, we're just going to spend some time meditating on the fact that we do serve a God, and there's power in His name, in the name of Jesus. So will you stand with me as we sing together?